Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And, Joe, we're going to look at a clip about, you know, how many times. I remember when they were unloading on camera, they were unloading a truckload full of boxes marked Biden ballots. The corruption in Detroit was just unbelievable in Michigan. It's there. And anyone and everyone that says there was no election fraud are liars, and there's not a bit of truth in them. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Steve Bannon and Jim Hoff on what we reported on an election fraud in Michigan. Go ahead and take it away.
Jim Hoff, explosive story on Gateway Pundit. Why don't you set the table? Because this thing has taken a lot of investigations. I know we got a couple of the investigators up here. But why don't you just walk us through it?
Right, Steve. This is a huge story. And there was a great American who once said, there are no conspiracies and there are no coincidences. And I think we know who that person is. But this is amazing that this would come out now, the week after Jack Smith came out with that bogus report saying that Trump lied about voter fraud and election irregularities in 2020. We reported, Steve, as you know, in the past 3 years, we were the ones who broke the State Farm video where they're shoving ballots, stacks of ballots, three times through machines. We were the ones who reported the TCF Center, the video of the late night ballot drop. That was Gateway Pundit. And Gateway Pundit also was the only organization that brought you the Detroit ballot box stuffers. We had video of that. Today, we have this amazing report, Steve. And what we have is that in October of 2020, some women brought in some stacks of these registrations in Muskegon, Michigan, into the city clerk's office. And the city clerk noticed that they all had the same handwriting. And we're talking 8 to 10,000. She immediately had red flags. She contacted the state police. They started an investigation. Now, no one has ever reported on this except for one little blip in the local news at the time. Well, we have the police report now, and it is amazing, Steve. The police raided the office.
Hang on. I just want to make sure. In October of 2020, several weeks before the election, some women walked into a registrar voter place in the county and dropped off 8,000 to 10,000 voter registrations.
We're talking about tens of thousands, we believe. But in that office, the report says 8 to 10,000. And they believe that they don't give an exact number, but numerous of these registrations were filled out by hand. And they confronted this person. They called the police. The police then raided one of these offices. And, Steve, we found out the name of the organization. It's also linked to two other Democrat organizations. One of these organizations is directly linked
okay,
to—
Okay, hold it. Slow down. When you say raided the office, didn't raid the registrar's office where the 8 to 10,000 were, raided the office of the women that had brought it in?
Exactly. They found the two offices locally where they were filling out these registrations. When they went into these offices, Steve, they found semi-automatic weapons. They found silencers. They found bags of these prepaid cash cards. They found burner phones. And so it's unbelievable, this story. And we also know that this group had several offices across Michigan. We also know that this same group and its GBI strategies had offices in other swing states. Steve, they were filling out registrations. And of course, as you know, and as Gateway Pundit has reported extensively on, this is, you know, they need these bloated voter rolls in order to cheat and steal.
Yes.
And I believe that. That's
yes.
You know, something I firmly believe.
No,
it's
the predicate. When you get the mail-in, the phony ballot harvesting, the mail-in ballots, the predicate You got to get the phony registrations. That's what they're doing in the college towns. That's what they did in Nevada. That's what they did in Pennsylvania. That's what they've done. Right. That is a predicate. It has to be done. But hang on. Slow down for a second. The police are enough worried because the registrar has – because to drop off 8,000 to 10,000 ballots, I mean, you're backing up a panel truck, right? I mean, to I take it's every day you don't get dropped 8,000 to 10,000. Wouldn't GBI strategies, if somebody's putting up big money to do this, tell these guys, hey, maybe you ought to take them in onesies, twosies, or maybe 250 at a time? To drop off 10,000 is a bit much. Isn't that going to naturally arise some suspicion?
Well, Steve, the other thing we found is, I mean, of course you're right. The other thing we found is they weren't just dropping off these registrations in the local offices. They were packaging them up and sending them to counties around the state. Can you imagine that this was going on? And then the state officials, Nessel and Whitmer and Jocelyn Benson, are saying that it was, you know, a free and fair election and all this crap is going on. And they've never reported on this. Well, again, we have the police report. And it's unbelievable, Steve, when you start really diving into it.
When the police, and this is all up on Gateway, when the police go to GBI strategies and they see firearms and silencers and cash cards and, you know, it looks like a production house for these registrations, what happens to the verification of the 8,000 to 10,000? Were there charges brought? Did the Secretary of State get involved here? I mean, what this seems so outrageous. Something had to have happened, right?
Exactly. You know, when I started blogging back in 2004, there was a local St. Louis people who were filling out registrations in a local McDonald's. They filled out 7 or 10 and they were arrested. Well, they confirmed that at least 46 in this report were immediately they saw, well, these are bogus. And but no one's been charged. No one was arrested. We have the name of one of the women who was dropping off these ballots. They talked to her. And the other interesting thing too, Steve, is they were advertising for jobs out on these job sites, saying we're going to pay $15 an hour, and you can come work for us. And where's the Republican Party? Where's the FBI?
Hang on. Well, let's take a short break. I want to get into more of this. So I want to go back, Jim. Set the table, and I'll get Patty McMurray in here also. So. GBI strategies drops off 8 to 10. This is all in a police report. Drops off 8 to 10,000 voter registrations in October of 2020 before the election. I guess it's still time in Michigan by state law to get registered. The registrar is concerned enough, calls the police. The police goes and investigates. They go to this place and they've got like a boiler room. They've got weapons, silencers, you know, cash, you know, the money cards. And it looks like they got a production facility to produce, wait for it, voter registrations that maybe are not filled out and done by American citizens who are eligible to vote, who want to make sure they're eligible in that area. And there's a police report done. The last time I looked, that's almost 3 years ago, right? October of 2020 is, you know, we're coming up on the third year anniversary of it. Within 100 days. So what's been done? What was done by the Secretary of State? What was done by authorities?
Well, they turned, as I said, they started an investigation with state police. Jocelyn Benson's office was in on this, and then they turned it over to the FBI. And you know what happened, Steve? This will shock you, but it died. The investigation died. They didn't do anything. Once again, the FBI was involved in election interference. They have done nothing with this, just like Hunter's laptop that goes to the FBI and then disappears. So this is just another instance that shows that our FBI is against the people of this country, and they're participating in stealing the elections. I think we found the culprits here.
So let me ask you, how do we know? Is it just because charges haven't been brought, you surmise that the FBI is not involved, or do you guys have further reporting that show that the FBI did not pursue this?
It is mentioned in the report that it was turned over to the FBI, and there has been some updates listed on the report, and Patty was looking over these items, but the last update was, I believe, in 2022, and it says that it's still being investigated. So you know what that means, Steve. Nothing's being done.
Jim, I want to get you guys both on because there's so much to go through here, and this is obviously quite explosive. Any concluding thoughts, brother?
Yeah, Steve, a couple of points, and Patty did an excellent job describing what we have. We also have, as Phil and some other people who have helped us, closing thoughts, Steve. We found also that they were using Enterprise rental cars in their operations, which were the same Enterprise cars that we found were driving inside the TCF Center on election night. That was also an Enterprise rental car. And we also know from this report that this organization, GBI Strategies, was also being paid by the Democratic senatorial campaign in the past, and also is being paid, I believe, in the report by Doug Jones' senatorial campaign down in Alabama, and it's linked to Joe Biden also. That's the money quote right there.
We'll get it. We have to have you guys back on to go through more detail.
Righty, we are back. Well, there you go, Joe. It just doesn't ever seem to stop, does it?
But,
no.
Now here's.
No, it doesn't. So much. It just amazes. So many things come back to our FBI, our own government, the enemy within. I'm looking at somebody we know pretty well, Jay Sekulow, the chief there of American Center for Law and Justice. He said basically there was all this other election interference, but basically the worst of it was the deep state FBI. And he quotes all kinds of things from the Jim Jordan documents, how FBI agents lying under oath about the FBI's knowledge, about how they worked with Facebook and Twitter. It goes on and on and on, but he was talking about this censorship that was done through the FBI as one of the greatest threats to free speech I've seen in 40 years. He said one of the federal judges he worked with declared it Orwellian, arguably the most massive attack against free speech. Well, and our vote is, you know, that ability to all ties in. It's our own government bringing us down. Everywhere we look, it's our own government that's at the bottom of all our problems.
Well, it is. It's gone. It's been completely corrupted. And when Khrushchev said back in the early 60s, when he took his shoe off, he beat the podium, he said, "We will destroy you from within." He said, "We're going to do it, starting with the public school systems." And we warn people, the indoctrination, and that's what he did. And so today, those kids back then, now today, they're in government. And like the John Kerrys and the Hillary Clintons and that, and they are completely corrupt. They have gone completely corrupted. But anyhow, here's FDA approves. Now remember, Remdesivir, Joe? We used to call it, if you couldn't remember the name of it, Run With Fear, okay?
Run With Fear, exactly.
Yeah. And so the FDA approves Remdesivir for COVID treatment of kidney patients, even though it totally destroys, the drug destroys kidneys' functions. Let me read that again. The FDA approves Remdesivir for COVID treatment of kidney patients, even though the drug completely destroys kidney function. And
it sounds like something that should be on The Onion, you know, but it's not really funny. It's not something you'd make a joke of. It sounds unbelievable.
This is an article by Ethan Huff. And so here, he goes on to say, Remdesivir is so dangerous and has killed so many people that there are large support groups online for surviving family members and friends, and yet the FDA has seen fit to approve the drug for a class of patients most at risk of suffering serious complications of death as a result of taking it. Unbelievable there, what's taking place. But this is, again, but you see, we're not supposed to know this because it's all part of the depopulation. But Joe Sixpack out there, he's not supposed to know this, okay? And so here's another one you're not supposed to know. Pfizer purchased Arena Pharmaceuticals to gain control of cardiovascular treatments that are in high demand after the COVID jab. So they're making money on both sides. Remember, do you remember the Pez? You know, remember those little Pez things?
Dispensers.
Yeah. And the idea was they sell they give you the dispenser if you buy two packs of Pez, because they'll give you the dispenser to buy, because you'll keep buying the medicine. It's their dispenser. It's the only way you could use it. So here's Pfizer now. They're out there. They've put out there. They've got all kinds of people now that have the myocarditis from the shots. And so now they're going to go ahead and, again, they're going to demand. Let me read this again. Pfizer purchased Arena Pharmaceuticals to gain control of the cardiovascular treatments that are in high demand due to the COVID jabs. There you go.
Yep, because it causes the heart problems, so now their jab causes the problems. Now they bought the company that has the medication to help not cure, but treat, right?
Absolutely. And that's that article is by C.D. Wells, and that's, there you go. That's out of the Home and Pharma. All right.
Well, here's another one that people need to know. We warned a long time ago about that Chinese credit system that the Chinese used to control the people. And we warned it would be coming here because it was an American tech company that made the system for the Chinese, right? Well, you remember a doctor that we've talked about a great deal, Dr. Marcola?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Joseph Marcola. He's a really popular doctor, proponent of alternate medicine and natural health products. He was warning about, you know, the vax, the poison poke and all this. Anyway, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank is a woke bank. And guess what they did? They shut down on July 13th. Chase shut down the accounts of Mercola's Market, his CEO, his CFO, even of their prospective spouses and children. Right? Totally using that. And they said, no, that wasn't the reason, but that is the only reason. They're going after people now through shutting down. That happened to what? What's right? What's left? Your bank.
Yeah.
For the church. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
They're using this same Chinese social credit score if you're not.
PNC.
You know,
yeah. Well, yeah, they did, but they were.
Government.
Right. With us, they were totally in opposition to all of our positions. We're pro-life. They were pro-death. We're pro-heterosexual. They're pro-homosexual. So everything that, you know, they were in total opposition to us, and they were very, I would just say, disrespectful in the way that they did that, okay? You know, they found out our positions, we found out theirs, okay? And so you're right. That they wanted to cancel us, and I'm glad we're not doing business with them. I don't want to do business with any very, very sinful, you know, banks like that. And by the way, the bank that we did that was very disrespectful in that, they closed down shortly afterwards.
Well, so, very good. Mercola here is telling people get out of the big banks, but he's doing something. He's not putting up with this. He is taking his case to Florida's Attorney General to test a new law signed by Governor Ron DeSantis that prohibits financial institutions from denying or canceling services based on political or religious belief. And he said, basically, we're going to be the test case to determine whether the governor's new law has teeth or not.
Well, they've been going after...
never been invoked before. This is new ground.
They've been going after frontline doctors left and right, trying to now, just today, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's been on this program, who I've known for years and years and years, okay? She's been on this radio program. She's a nationally known doctor. Mm-hmm. And guess what they did? Right. And today they pulled her license. They didn't pull her license for... Right, yep. Not for malpractice of any kind, but she apparently didn't fill out her forms the correct way. Right? Here's a woman I've had on this radio program probably 30 years ago. I don't know how long she's been in practice, but I believe it's been about 30 years since I've had her, since the first time I had her on.
And found a mistake in a form, huh?
Yeah, okay, so...
oh, boy.
So, I mean, now you don't possibly suppose, Joe, that they're not being straight up with us. And so my suggestion...
Yeah. You'd think that our government and some of these agencies are corrupt and they're doing things that are detrimental to the citizens of the country? Why, Pastor Ernie, just what a shocking thought. We've only been screaming about this for more years than many of our listeners are old.
You know what? My suggestion to frontline doctors is don't wait for them to pull your license. Take your license, go in, and throw it on their desk, and say, you know what? We want nothing to do with the AMA anymore. You've become illegitimate. You've gotten bad. You've gone bad. You've apostatized like the others. And you have that many real doctors start their own, one that's upright, one that they can trust, okay, that has not gone woke, that has not been totally corrupted. You know, Joe, I got... I wanted to do, Kyle, are you there? Are you listening? Do we have, could you pot up that, the one with the Amish, the Amish fellow who they went after, they're going after, they're trying to put in prison for making rifles, which they've been doing for years and years, and shotguns? All righty. Joe, you know, again, like I'm saying, mostly... the field agents in the FBI, most of those people are still out there trying to do their job. Not all of them. Some of them, they still don't get it about the Constitution, Joe.
They're trying to move up to join the more crazies at the top.
Absolutely. And here we have a situation where you have an Amish farmer who, you know, besides farming, they've made shotguns and rifles for years. And it's not illegal what they're doing, but we'll go ahead and play that clip.
Welcome back. So a simple Amish farmer was just arrested in Pennsylvania for selling guns, even though he broke no laws. How does that work exactly? Well, basically, like all Amish men, Reuben King's primary job is working a small family farm. But on the side, he has a second job, buying and selling firearms. Or he did. Until federal agents swooped in and arrested him and had him convicted in federal court. Now he faces up to 5 years in prison. Sentencing is set for September 6th. King's crime is selling firearms without a federal license. Okay, but except there's no clear statutory requirement to have a license to sell off one's firearms. The law is completely vague, probably intentionally. Only certain guns require a license, no matter what, but King wasn't selling those. He was just selling simple small arms. It's perfectly legal to sell those guns, including guns that are part of a large collection, without a license. When does simple buying and selling become illegal gun trafficking? Well, there's no clear line. Just whatever the government feels like imposing on people. And this time, the government feels like pulverizing a dairy farmer who was otherwise not a threat at all. Well, of course, we would love to talk to Mr. King directly, but he's such a devout Amish man that he disagrees with even appearing on a video screen. So instead, we're joined by one of his local defenders, Chris Hume. Chris works with the Lancaster Patriot and is the author of the book Vote Christian, Biblical Principles for Voting. And he joins us now. Chris, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, thanks so much, Stu. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, and you've just laid out this case pretty well. I mean, I want your listeners to understand what's going on here. I mean, here's a man who's selling rifles and shotguns, mainly to the Amish. I mean, these are hunting weapons, maybe personal defense. We're not even talking about handguns in this case. He's selling these small arms, these long guns. And what happened is the ATF agents, the Pennsylvania state troopers, went to him undercover. You had undercover police officers posing as a regular buyer, coming to Reuben King and buying a few arms. And then they take him to court and say, you know what? You don't have the right to do this. You can't sell these guns. You don't have a license. You've crossed, as you mentioned, this imaginary line. Now, the ATF, right, that agency that is tasked with managing the, regulating firearms in America, they say you don't need a license to buy and sell firearms unless you're doing it with the principal motive of making a profit. Again, it's intentionally vague. And I think, Stu, it's vague so that they can target the people they want to, and then they can use the loopholes to let the people go that they don't want to go after. So in King's mind, he's a dairy farmer. He doesn't even keep exact data on all his gun sales. And, you know, in his mind, he says, well, I'm not doing this as a business. I'm not breaking the law. The ATF agents come to him and say, you might be breaking the law here. You might face prosecution, but there is no clear line, because there is no clear line. There's no clear line going from selling guns as a hobby to doing it as a business. And in this case, they targeted Reuben King, and he could spend 5 years in prison.
Who's the victim here?
Exactly. This is very similar to the case of Amos Miller, who's another Amish farmer here in Lancaster County, who ran afoul of the USDA food regulations. In that case, and in this case, there's no victim. There's no one bringing a charge against Reuben King saying, you know, someone purchased your gun and used it. And even in that case, of course, it wouldn't be Reuben King's
okay,
fault.
Okay, so hold on. Let's back up here a little bit. So the ATF says you might be breaking the law. You might be prosecuted. Now they've prosecuted him. And so what prosecutor is saying that they think they have a case here? What exactly is the charge? What exactly is the case?
So the charge, Stu, is that he sold a firearm without a federal license.
But the statute doesn't say that he needs to have a license to do what he was doing. So, I mean, how can they, with something so flimsy, what is the real goal here? Actually, let's just get to that. Brass tacks, what are they really doing here?
Yeah, they want to they have confiscated all his weapons. So he had about 600 firearms. Now, he wasn't even selling all of those. The court documents say there are about 125 or so out for sale. They have confiscated all his weapons, and they want to lock him up. Now, whether they end up doing that, we'll see. But the charge, Stu, is selling firearms without a federal license. But the language is so vague that no one can know when they've crossed that line.
Okay, let's talk principality and motives. What is the Fed's motive for arresting him? Why do they want to seize his weapons? Do they not like him? Is he a conservative? Is he outspoken? Is he a dissident to the regime?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not an outspoken guy. I mean, most of the Amish lay low. I mean, this is a case, you look at Lancaster County and a lot of places throughout this country where people are just minding their own business, you know, and serving their neighbor. Again, we got to emphasize that. Reuben King here was serving his neighbor by selling these firearms. A lot of the Amish can't get firearms the typical route. They don't have photo ID. So he's serving his neighbors. He's selling firearms. And the federal government does not want that, Stu. I mean, we could probably come up with a lot of reasons why, but they want to come down hard on this guy because he's not following their loopholes. What we have, Stu, is we have a nation that is becoming a nation of loopholes and not righteous laws. And the federal government here, they've abandoned any sense of justice, any sense of morality, and they've adopted this idea of loopholes. So then when they want to target someone, here's a guy that is minding his own business, but he's not following their regulations. And probably part of that is money involved. You know, if they're going to regulate it, they're going to want money from it. And he's not, you know, bowing the knee to their system, and they don't like that.
Hmm. So what's he going to do? I mean, what are we asking people to do? We're a show of, you know, action here. So we're an action-based platform. How can we help? I mean, what is the underlying, the driving factor here?
Yeah, so Reuben King's attorney, I mean, he tried to get this indictment dismissed, basically saying, hey, there's no clear line here.
Should have been dismissed.
The judge said, you're right, there's no clear line, but we're not going to dismiss this anyway. We're still going to bring this to trial. A jury convicted King. A jury of his peers convicted him and said he has to give up 600 or so of his weapons. His lawyer tried to get that verdict vacated. The judge just released, no, we're not vacating this. We are going to sentencing. You know what? All your arguments about Second Amendment, they don't apply here. The Second Amendment does not protect your right to sell commercially. So in the end here, what we're facing is he could potentially be put away. If you want to help him, if you want to donate to Reuben King's cause, you can go to the LancasterPatriot.com/King. You can make a donation. Any news, we'll be putting it up, what's happening next. If Reuben King is sentenced, once he's sentenced, it appears he's going to be sentenced now. Once he's sentenced, his lawyer can appeal this, and he can take this up. This could potentially go to the Supreme Court. At this point, that seems to be the only recourse to continue to appeal this so the Supreme Court can hear it. And the argument there would be that you can't regulate a Second Amendment right. And Justice Thomas has said, if you start to regulate the Second Amendment, you regulate these freedoms, it's no longer freedom. So that's where we're at. It's a pretty dark case. It's a case of the federal government. Really, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, can wicked rulers be aligned with the Lord, those who frame injustice by statute? And that is what we have right now. We have wicked rulers who are framing injustice by statute. And it always ends up hurting the little guy. It hurts the guy who's trying to serve his neighbor, he's trying to put food on the table for his family. It doesn't hurt the big corporations. It hurts people like Reuben King or like Amos Miller in the USDA case. They're providing for their neighbors, but the federal government wants to be the nanny state. They want to control things. They want to regulate it. And you can't have a guy exercising freedom. Stu, I think that's the ultimate motive here, that if you have people who are self-governed, who are serving their neighbor, the federal government does not want that. We have statism in America. It's the idea that the government is supreme. The government is God. And that's infected the American mind. And the highest law becomes man's regulation. So I think, real quick, Stu, that the real problem here, at the heart of this problem, is the ATF agents and the police officers, the state troopers, who would go into a man's residence, pose as undercover police officers to get this guy locked up. As long as we have men in America willing to do things like that, violating the higher law, the moral law of God, in order to enforce, well, I'm just doing what I was told. I'm just following orders. And that's what we have in America, people who are following orders to enforce statism and man-made law.
Couldn't have said it better. Chris Hume, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
All right, we're back. And, folks, we're going to – I got a couple things real quickly, Joe. I wanted to do this one. Doctor Coalition sues California Medical Board for insisting that white individuals are naturally racist. That's right. Two doctors, one that's black and the other an Iranian-American, have sued the Medical Board of California for its requirements forcing continuation of medical education courses that are focused on implicit bias. In other words, Dr. Marilyn Singleton and Dr. Azeda Kahabiti argued that such a requirement violates their constitutional rights of freedom of speech and civil rights. So basically, to sum this whole article up, it tells you that the implicit bias and requirement promotes an inaccurate belief that all white individuals are naturally racist. And so there you go. That's the California Medical Board. I kind of have a
naturally,
feeling.
That means you're born hating. Yeah. Or you're a born hater. Yep.
Yeah, I got to have a feeling that
from the pit of hell.
The Ohio Medical Board is similar in the way that they treated Dr. Sherry Tenpenny.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I want to add something to that story about the Amish. We've done stories how they were trying to shut down Amish dairies because they were selling raw milk to their neighbors. And the government, couldn't, it wasn't pasteurized, wasn't homogenized. It just milk that came from a cow, and they were having fits. They were getting after the Amish for selling beef, that they had farm-raised beef. It wasn't USDA inspected. They hate the Amish because the Amish are like you said, they're self-governing. They take care of themselves. They don't need the government. They, they stay out of trouble. They take care of their own. And I think it's just totally hated because they are not a group of people who will ever be controlled, and they will not be part of the mainstream that will go along with the government.
Well,
so
they
put them down.
They feel the way we do, that their rights come from God, and their rights are not. Their rights are not privileges granted by the state, and that's the mindset that they have out there today. In other words, they're trying to tell us, the Democrats believe we have no rights. We have privileges that are granted by the state, and if the state don't want to grant you those privileges, then you don't deserve them. That's the mindset that we're dealing with out there today. Anyhow, very quickly. Judge Aline Cannon blasts Jack Smith for operating out of district secret grand jury in a blistering order. And that, I praise the good Lord for that. That took place Monday. Judge Aline Cannon on Monday, at least there's still a few judges out there that have not been totally corrupted and bought off. And this is out of the Gateway Pundit. Judge Aline Cannon on Monday blasted Jack Smith for operating a secret out-of-district grand jury. Now, this guy has been committing more crimes. He's really pushing it to the level, thinking,
he's messing up all over the place as far as what he's allowed to do, can and can't. He doesn't abide by the law.
No, he's got a reputation, even by either the other crooked lawyers say this guy is over the top. They even give them a bad name. And so that is something here. And I got a feeling, and Trump is going right after him. Boy, I mean, Trump has really been nailing him, and he as he should. He's calling him Biden's thug. You think about this. Biden has set this corrupt Department of Justice, DOJ, with a totally, completely corrupt Merrick Garland, is the most corrupt attorney general. He far succeeds Bill Barr, Bill Barr,
yeah.
And Bill Barr is corrupt. But not nearly as bad as Garland. Garland is bad.
Well, he also didn't have any courage to stand up and do anything, and he was also a man without principle, without courage. So,
right, he turned, and speaking of that, Mike Pence, I can't believe Pence did the dumbest thing. He just killed himself when he said,
he's already done. He's done it before, so why should you be surprised if he keeps shooting himself in the foot?
Well, he came out and he said he would be willing to testify against Trump. Yeah. Nobody likes a traitor.
Nobody, yep. They don't like a traitor or a snitch. Well, he's not a snitch because he wouldn't really be telling the truth. He'd have to try and say that Trump didn't really think he, lost or something. That's the only way they can make their case. So I'm worried they're trying to get him to say something that wouldn't be true at all.
So then there's only two that can read your heart. One is God and the other is Mike Pence.
Something like that. Yeah, he's right up there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's one of the charges that this Jack Smith's trying to say is that Trump really didn't believe. Let me ask you this. There were 2 million people that came to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Did they come there because they believed that the election was stolen out from under them, or they just...
Exactly. That's why they were there, and there were millions of others that couldn't go because of work or children or sickness or lack of funds who believed the same thing. And if they put a trial, they've opened up the door for Trump to bring in as many witnesses as he wants to validate. All these people believe that election was crooked, stolen, and now we could actually use the stories I was just talking from Through the Vote and the information they're putting online about the Chinese servers having all this election knowledge. That could all come out in a trial. I can see where this could really benefit Donald Trump. These people may have shot themselves in both feet.
Well, Trump now,
real...
every time they go in and indict him, his poll numbers go way up, and he's now 40 points ahead of DeSantis. 40, that's a lot to make up.
A lot of points.
Yeah.
And looking at I've got one story I've got to get in here. You have been talking for most of your radio career about get your children out of the public school system, right?
Yeah, all of 50 years I've been talking about that.
Yeah, well, they now have a new president of the American Library Association. She is a admitted Marxist lesbian. Emily Drabinsky said she will not hide her personal politics during her tenure, hopes to make marginalized communities feel represented in local libraries, libraries where people still take their children, right? And Montana was the first state around to officially cut ties with the oldest library trade there, the American Library Association. So here she came out and she said, she made a post, quote, it's now been deleted, but we captured it. I just cannot believe that a Marxist lesbian who believes that the collective power is possible to build and can be welded for a better world is the president-elect of the ALAL Library. I'm so excited for what we can do together. Solidarity. If you've got children that you take to libraries to read books, the head of it now is a lesbian Marxist running the American Library Association, has a lot of influence on every library in every small town in America.
No, things just keep on getting better, huh? Jeez.
The library is no longer safe. It used to be safe to let your kids go to the library. Now it's one of the most dangerous places, whether it's in school or the public library down the street. And the one thing I know, our local library, I know a couple of the people who work there.
Yep.
They don't let things into their library like that. They're not going to if they get fired or...
Hey, Joe, we have our California contributor and correspondent out there, Miss Linda Stair, and she's called in. She's got a message. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to report something that's going on here in Southern California. The movement of the Holy Spirit is very strong here. There are groups... The thing that really was so interesting was that Hollywood Boulevard was completely packed with Christians praising the Lord two Saturdays ago. Of course, they don't report this on the news, so I wanted to call in and let the Christians across America know what's going on. They've got big groups in Santa Monica, Huntington Beach, San Clemente, and there's lots of little home groups that are popping up. I'm going to them. I go to several of them, and they're just amazing, where the people have acoustic instruments, and we just sing and praise the Lord, and we just want to blanket the area with the Holy Spirit, and it's really catching on. I wanted to report that to you.
Well, I'm glad you did. Yeah, I was aware of that.
Oh, my. I'd love to hear news like that. I didn't see it anywhere, and I do an awful lot of research.
Yeah, well, I was aware of that. And, we want to just, you're right. You're not going to hear that. That the NBC, ABC, CBS, they don't want you to know that. But, see, God's people, there seems to be a movement. Now, I think, Romans 8:28, do you know what that says? It says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. Now,
yes.
With what happened, that verse kept popping up in my mind after what happened yesterday here in Ohio, because a lot of the people were confused. They and the way that was written up, it was written to confuse them. The deep state, and your state, California, the corruption up there, they poured in tons of money in Ohio here, and now we're trying to. Making an effort, if we can get through to the churches here first, the pastors have, if they can stand up and honor God with boldness and being doers of the word, we have to defeat this. We have 3 months before the November election. We have to defeat this ungodly legislation that they're bringing in right from the pit of hell. And you know what? We are seeing movements now. I saw a greater involvement from the pulpit in this last issue than I've seen in a long time. And that's good news.
Oh, that's good.
So
very, very, very good. So it seems as if everything is backfiring on them, because the more deception they put upon us, the more people know it's wrong and want to go out and just get together and just, you know, have Jesus time, have Holy Spirit time. And it's wonderful to see.
Well, yeah, we, you know, again, God has raised us up for such a time as this. This is our time. The fact that we are here now, okay, means that, you know, God doesn't do anything off the cuff, and things don't happen by accident. So we are here, and so we are the ones that are he raised up to run to this battle, okay? Do you think God can equip his people to do the job?
Yes.
Well, then, why don't we really get after it? I mean, that's what we really have to do.
Well, I think that's what's happening here in Southern California. I mean, it's just an outpouring. People are getting healed. People are just coming to the Lord, and I see people over time, over the month, that their whole demeanor changes from, you know, being depressed to just have this glow about them. And you can't fake that.
No, huh?
I think that, you know, and everyone that's listening, you know, people that want to start their own home group where they just have, you know, worship time together and praying together. It's just, and then have, you know, the Holy Spirit will visit that home. It's just so powerful.
You know what? Hey, Joe, we've only had one other woman in all the time we've been on the air give the invitation, okay? And that was...
Oh, that's right. I think you're right, that I can remember.
Yeah, and that was... Remember, I asked her, well, I think that this lady right here, Linda, is capable of doing that. Linda, would you like to give an invitation to invite people to heaven and out of hell?
Well, thank you, Pastor, for putting that trust in me. I just really want to let people know that's listening that Jesus is real. I myself was healed after going to these meetings. I had my left hip was numb. You know, if I lay on my left hip at night, it would just hurt because it was just numb and painful. And I asked for healing, and it took like two times asking, and he healed me. He healed me last Saturday. It's gone. I don't have any numbness in my left hip at all now. And, you know, God, Jesus is so real. The Holy Spirit is so real that it's eternal. And, you know, I just pray for people that don't already know the Lord, that they will come to him and just surrender. And, you know, it's a process. It's not like instantaneously your whole life has to change, but he knows your heart. And when your heart is contrite and believing in him, that's all he wants. And he can take it from there. And so I just pray for anybody in this situation right now, kind of sitting on the fence, that they would just go ahead and believe. And it's just it's a holy thing. It just sets you apart, because you know that you're a special person deep down inside. And it's because God put that in you. He put his love in you, and the potential to have this faith. And he's rooting for you. He's in your corner. And so come to him. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You,
well, you're welcome there. And we'll just, a couple questions there. Does God want anyone to perish?
No.
He doesn't want not one person. So has...
No, he created all of us. He doesn't want any of us.
Did he do all the heavy lifting? Did the Lord Jesus Christ do all the heavy lifting? I mean, did he do what we could have never done for ourselves? He did, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, has anyone ever done anything that means as much to them as calling upon the name of the Lord and getting saved?
Well, no, because this is our eternity, because we're going to go somewhere when we die.
And so,
and we're going to know the second after we die where that's going to be. And if we didn't, you know, believe in Jesus and the God that created us, well, then he has to take his wrath out on us.
So is everyone listening to me right now out there, are they going to die whether they want to or not?
Yeah, we all are, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm telling you this because George Soros and some others said they're going to have their, well, I don't know what Soros, but what's his name, Klaus?
Schwab
says he's going to have his brain frozen and come back to life someday. I really don't think it's going to work that well for him.
Well, I think it's already frozen.
You're right. Could. It's going to get a lot warmer here when he dies, won't it?
Yeah. Yep, he'll get thawed out. So anyhow, folks, that's the bottom line. Listen, what she just told you, nobody has to go to hell. If what is required is repentance, okay, to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, and only a sinner can get saved, and to acknowledge the fact that it's not God's will that any come short of heaven, but then he's done the job. You have to, one, do exactly what he says. You have to feel you should regret that it was your sin to put the Lord Jesus upon that cross. It was your sin that was nailed to him. Two, that you need to ask for forgiveness of that. Ask for forgiveness for that. It's called repentance. Three, you have to ask the Lord Jesus. You have to call upon his name. You have to ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. Okay, and if you do that, God is always, always, always ready to honor any true commitment. And he's the only one that we can always completely trust upon. And when that happens, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And, folks, you will be on the road to eternal life. And so we're out of time for tonight. So as we approach this time, as we always say at this time, we always do this. We go, are we down to 20 seconds yet? Yes.
30 seconds.
All right. So we always say, God bless.
God bless.
We always say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And then we always say this then. Always, always.
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 And I do mean always. You ready?
Ready.
Keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work.
Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.